This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
It's Health News Digest. I'm Tina Camellia alongside Chua Untaik, Juliet Jacobs and Sharmila Ganesan. We were discussing earlier about the future of esports, whether it has its place in the school system or in the professional sports industry. Now we're turning our focus to swimming. The Education Ministry is currently in discussion on the need to introduce water safety awareness and rescue modules in schools. And Sharmila has a lot of thoughts on this.
Well, I'm sure a lot of us saw the sort of social media discussions, largely a lot of, I think, ridicule when the Education Minister, Dr. Mazli Malik, announced that he was going to that he was proposing, and this was something that was originally mooted by Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir, that that they make swimming part of the school curriculum, largely driven by the increase in drowning incidents that involve school students lately. And the National Water Activity Safety Council actually backed the idea of introducing swimming classes in primary and secondary schools. But the thing that I think drew the most attention was Dr. Masli's suggestion that they open up, or rather that hotels open up their swimming pools as part of their CSR activity to schools, because not every school has a swimming pool, and therefore this would make it easier to implement. And this led to a fair amount of backlash from people, both on social media and even from various hotel operators and bodies who said that it just wasn't a feasible thing to do. The thing is, that aside, I do actually very strongly agree that swimming should be made part of the school syllabus. I can't swim. I was never given an opportunity to learn. And it's something that I've really regretted, because I do realize that it's something that's much easier to do when you're younger. Mm. And the older you get, the more, you know, you get more self-conscious, the fear increases. So I do think that this is something that needs to be implemented. But to do it in this sort of, I suppose, it sounds like a fairly short-sighted solution to me. Because, and is it even really workable? I mean, how many hotels are there, and how are you going to make sure that there's enough of a, you know, who's going to make sure that there's a lifeguard on duty? Who decides what the lessons are going to be? So I think that is a almost a separate issue than whether swimming should be introduced. Because in my opinion, I think it's there's no reason not to.
Right. So before we carry on, let's take a room poll first. How many of us here can swim? I know Sharmila has said that she doesn't.
I can't. Yeah.
I'm raising my hand. Half a hand.
Half.
Right. I can't swim to save my life.
Right. I can swim-ish, not so high water confidence, but
so
I can.
So one and a half person in this room can swim.
Yeah. And how's it looking like on Twitter?
On Twitter, so we asked, how well do you swim? And out of 84 votes, only 14% said very well, thank you. 48% have said good enough, and 38% have said not at all. So that is, I think quite indicative of this room as well. So we've got some tweets here from one from Dr. Liana Khairuddin. She says, this is also a class issue. I only learned to swim in my 20s, not having had the access to pools and swim classes in my childhood, as both parents worked and they only had limited pool access at army camps, where I suppose when her dad was back, paid affordable student fee to learn swimming at UM pool. So that's something that she did. And Pinky Prof also responded to that, saying, exactly, my parents couldn't afford swimming class when I was a kid, so I got one during my uni days. They have them really cheap for students, and Pinky Prof is very glad she joined, he or she joined, and now looking for music classes. So yeah, okay, keep improving. That's keep improving yourself. That's something to do.
I'm actually madly in awe of people who learn to swim in adulthood, or, you know, having past childhood, because to me, you know, every time one of my friends say, I'll teach you how to swim, it's never gone well. And I think it's always been one of those experiences that people who can swim don't realize how terrifying it can be for those who can't.
Yeah.
And constantly make it sound like it's something that's very easy to pick up, or that you're somehow being difficult, or just being fussy when you say you can't.
Yeah, but that's the thing about swimming, though. It's not just because you know how to swim, to swim doesn't make you a good swim instructor.
Absolutely.
And I learned that because, well, I didn't realize that because my father taught me how to swim, and I always thought that, oh, he's an adult who knows how to swim, so he can teach anybody to swim.
Exactly.
I realized only much later on that he was a former lifeguard person thing. So he knows what he's doing. And I realized that when other adults try to teach their adult friends to swim and they don't know how to instill that confidence or to ease them into the water.
I have a great example for this when a friend of mine decided that they would teach me how to float in the open sea when we jumped off a boat in Thailand.
Oh, dear. And, sounds like a very sound
I
idea.
I know. And we all thought this was a great idea. Luckily, we had life jackets on. So that, right. I think. But essentially what happened was I'm much bigger than my friend. And when I got into the water, I panicked because I couldn't feel the ground. And I grabbed her. And essentially, I'm pulling her down as well. And she can swim very well.
Mm.
So these are things that I think people don't take into account when they casually say, oh, I can teach you to swim. It's really not that difficult. Which brings us back to the question of implementing it in schools.
Mm-hmm.
Who is going to be teaching them? Do we have enough instructors, qualified instructors, with not just being able to teach how to swim, but also lifeguarding skills, with the ability to control a large group of young children? I mean, these are all, I think, much more important questions than to talk about getting hotels to do CSR programs.
Yeah. I mean, drowning is the second most common cause of death in children aged 1 to 18. And in 2017, last year, about 500 children die or suffer brain damage from drowning incidences. So clearly there is a need for our kids to know how to swim, to make sure that they don't drown or cause their friends to drown because their friends tried to save them, right? And this data came from a nationwide study led by Dr. Amar Singh, a senior consultant pediatrician, which we discussed last year on health and living.
Our intention actually was to put drowning deaths in children on the map. I think prior to this, the general impression was that perhaps maybe 50 children drown a year in Malaysia. We actually originally were approached by World Health Organization to bring this to the attention of the Malaysian health authorities because it's been an unrecognized problem. So we did the study. We also were surprised to discover 500 drownings a year. You know, so I think that volume worried us. Of course, that volume is in two parts. About 300 plus children die every year. Another 250 children drown and then are rescued. And those children are usually small children at home. They're able to be discovered by their parents and then brought to hospital. But we also discovered that those children are not actually rescued well. They often end up with brain damage, which is why we quote this figure of 500 children drowning every year, although only perhaps 300 of them die. The remainder do get brain damaged.
So, Sharmila, are we really just trivializing Dr. Mazli's suggestion? I mean, it is coming from a good place.
I'm struggling to decide whether we are trivializing his suggestion or whether he sort of minimized the importance of what he was saying by coupling it with a suggestion that doesn't make a lot of sense and isn't particularly feasible. I think it's true that the long-term aim of this program is that over the next 20 years, students will not only be able to swim, but to have life-saving skills and be aware of the hazards of, engaging in play and whatever in water bodies. On top of it, he's talking about how promoting water safety among young people is extremely important, and this is true. But then why take it one step further and make the suggestion, which then ignores, or rather it causes people to latch on to the wrong part of, or the less important part of this discussion.
Do we have a solution, though, to bringing swimming to schools? Like, how is that logistically possible?
I think that's a discussion that needs to be had because when I was in school, not every school would have its own football field, for instance. So a few schools in the same area would share one field. We may even share particular like racetracks, things like that. Whether that's a model that needs to be looked at, but definitely this isn't something that can be implemented without a fair amount of infrastructure and planning being put into it, right?
Like a inflatable pool during the raining season, put it on the field and then it's swimming season. Because the field couldn't be used during the raining season.
No?
Yeah. I mean,
lightning, lightning is the problem then.
Oh, yeah. Right, yeah. You think of those sorts of things. Put a tent over it.
We save it first and then we use the pool the next day, the following morning.
What a catchment.
I think now we are trivializing.
Sorry.
Yeah, does statements like this do make one wonders how seriously thought out are these solutions? Was it said with the intention of brainstorming to, you know, get the private sector to try to fill in or help out in this program? Or are we expecting too much of governments again, you know? Because swimming, like driving, cooking, you know, if we start asking government or schools to teach us all of life skills, ironing clothes, folding them, where does it end? Is it a slippery slope towards a nanny state where we're asking that governments and we're outsourcing the roles of families and parents and things like that? It's also partly because it's the modern condition of how we live, right? We no longer have neighbors who we can rely on to take care of our kids, bring them to the pools while we're at work. Mm. And everyone is just so busy tending to putting food on the table or, you know, that all these other secondary, or I'm using air quotes here, quality of life skills are left by the wayside.
I think that's an interesting point, right? Because whose responsibility is it to teach your kid to swim? It's almost similar to asking whose responsibility is it to teach your kid road safety?
Yeah.
It technically, perhaps it should be the parents or the family. But that said, are families actually equipped, one, financially to send their kids to swimming lessons? Two, if not financially equipped, then can they teach their kids to swim? And again, as Tina mentioned earlier, can everyone teach their kids to swim? It's not as simple as teaching a kid how to cross a road, yeah?
And clearly this is a very important issue that kids are dying every year, but because of our current context and circumstances, that we need to prioritize maybe some parts of education over other aspects of education. Maybe the way to stop more students from succumbing or rather drowning is to stop making the sea or the pond so easily accessible, or making
fence
it
fence up any
exactly
water.
Yeah. Or put lifeguards at right. areas where right. you want people or you, they are recreational for with waters,
which might be more financially viable than building a pool in every school in the country.
Yeah. And demanding hotels open their amenities and facilities.
All right. We got a message here from WhatsApp, and somebody says that there should be more public swim pools and separate pools for ladies. She used to go regularly to the Klanajaya Sports Complex, but the guys are so strong that it affects females who swim side by side. Well, a whole different issue here now. It's a gender issue. But more hampering is guys can be quite, as she uses the word, humps up. They go underwater to see females swim and look at them in swimwear and things like that, even peeping toms. So I suppose even if we do have the facilities, then we need to also have security measures in place. Yeah. And this is just
And there are actually many issues when it comes to that, right? And there have been some of these questions raised as well on social media when we talk about swimming lessons in schools. Whose cultural values are we going to mold them to? You know, what do we wear when we swim? Are we going to have segregated pools? Are we going to have you know, mixed genders pools, in which case how do we protect certain kids from other kids? These are all questions that need to be looked at, and so it's by no means an easy thing to especially in a context like Malaysia, to implement swimming lessons. Basically, the question is not just where are they going to swim and who's going to teach them. There are many other questions involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so I think we're reaching the end of our show. A final tally of the poll.
Yes, so out of 106 votes, 15% said very well, thank you. 45% good enough, and 40% not at all. So, okay, we've got enough people to, I suppose, help out in a tight situation. But, yeah.
But we don't know if they can all adequately save.
Adequately, yeah. Just
they
one can save themselves. One more message from a doctor, from Dr. Asad. Teach everyone how to do CPR and start from Sanit 5. I suppose, yes, you don't really need to have a pool for that.
All right, yeah. Thank you all for participating in our poll. And thank you to Chua Un Teck, Juliet Jacobs, and Sharmila Gunnison. That's
thank
all
you.
We have on Health News Digest. This time, I'm Tina Camilla, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.